Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line one of my special guests, a favorite guest, Myrna Culbraith. And Myrna was just on Dr. Wolf's program about an hour ago, weren't you, Myrna?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they called me up yesterday, the day before, and asked me if I could be on, so I said, sure. I'd like to support their efforts out there too. And you know, it's a time when people really ought to be thinking about Phenopoly for Christmas presents, or just to have it and grab it and grab the kids over the Christmas vacation. Sit down with them and play it. I mean, A, yes, a great present. B, actually the real present is to go through it with the kids or the grandkids or whomever. And what people don't know, you know, everybody thinks, well, gee, yeah, right, there must be some kids who are in trouble on reading, but it's not my kids. Well, you know, there have just been new results, Dr. Stan, on what they call the National Report Card Test, the National Assessment of Education Progress. And guess what? Reading scores remained totally flat, meaning they were as bad as 1992, when everybody went ballistic about how badly California did on those tests. And when they say, you know, even when they say somebody made progress on a test, if you look at the actual scores, there are 500 points on the test. Typical kid is getting maybe 200 or 215 or 216. I mean, my estimation, that's not even a D. But those are the kinds of scores that are coming in. So 7 out of 10 kids right now, this minute, and it's no better than it was 10 years ago, read below the proficient level.
Well, you know, it's really a tragedy that people cannot imagine that there would be a group of people who are dedicated to dumbing down our children. Just as during the last hour we talked about the church growth movement, people find it difficult to believe there would be anybody working within the Christian church who would be interested in changing the message and the music of our churches and actually changing the very nature of God. Well, one of the things they set out a long time ago was to dumb down the American children, because you can't enslave smart people. That's why people in other countries are seeing through the falseness of the socialistic programs and totalitarian programs being introduced all across the world. But the average American student has been dumbed down to the point where they honestly believe that the function of government is to provide for them the cradle to the grave, without ever being told that any government that can control you, can provide for you from the cradle to the grave, has to be able to control you. And the only way they're going to learn and understand what's really going on is to be able to read and read history. And the great tragedy is most of our young people cannot read efficiently. Isn't that true?
That's true. They cannot read. Here's how bad it is. We have fallen to the literacy level of Burma and Albania. And that's just on the 1 out of 5 adults. Actually, it's a little more than 20% of adults who cannot read things like take 2 pills twice a day. I mean, that level of can't read a street sign. 1 out of 2 reads on a 5th grade level or below, meaning they can't read a newspaper. They can't read text on a computer.
Well, you know,
they hack around at it some, but they don't really read.
Well, the tragedy is this, that America cannot be competitive in a world based upon an information technology unless almost all of our population can read and understand. Back in 1800, we had a 95% literacy rate. And today, according to the Department of Health and Education Welfare, we have 100 million Americans who are either partially or totally functionally illiterate. We'll be back in just a moment with our special guest, Myrna Culbraith. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is one of my favorite guests, is Myrna Culbraith. We're going to be talking about what's happened to the educational system, and one reason we're going to talk about it is because if you have children in government schools, why, you really need to seriously think about getting a phonopoly set for them so they can learn to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Our ancestors back in 1800 understood how important phonics was. It was understood for 100 years after that that phonics was the way to teach children to read. They do this in all other societies, but of course there were evil and wicked people led by John Dewey here in the United States that wanted to dumb down our children because he believed in a socialist hierarchy ruling the people and realized that the enemy of tyranny was a literate population. And so they set out years ago to, rather than use phonics, to use other methods of teaching which have not worked, and they know it isn't working, and the educrats know it isn't working, and the latest studies done by our federal government know that it isn't working and know we should be using phonics. And that's why, despite all the talk about, oh, things are going to get better, they're not getting better because they're not using phonics. And Myrna, our guest today, has actually been to Washington, D.C. many times and talked to many of the officials who've agreed that her program is a great program. It's been used on disadvantaged students and told and shown within 16 hours to take these children from the bottom 25% to the top, 14 or 15%. And yet it's not being used. And the only explanation I can come up with is they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it is fair. That is to say, I think there maybe are people in Washington, and some of whom I've talked to, who really do believe in phonics. A friend of mine there, in effect, wrote the reading first part of the education bill from a staff position in the Congress, and he's been around more or less since the Reagan White House, but he doesn't necessarily control anything. But he was invited by Bush the first week after the inauguration to come to the White House with Bush and Laura Bush and talk about phonics. So there is some, I think, belief that it would work. However, mostly it's not getting out on the ground. If you look carefully at the teachers' publications and things like that, you find that, for example, the National Panel on Reading report that was published in the year 2000, it had, among other people on that panel, Dr. Sally Shaywitz, whom I've interviewed sometimes when I guest host on your program. She's the head of the Dyslexia Project.
Hold that thought for just a moment here, Myrna. We've got to bring on the other station. Okay, Dr. Stan back, and our guest is Myrna Culbraith. We're talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and Myrna was saying that she's actually interviewed people who spend all their time involved in studying dyslexia, and what was this woman's name, Dr.
Her
Sally?
Her name is Shaywitz, S-H-A-Y-W-I-T-Z, Sally right. Shaywitz. She's the head of, she and her husband together are physicians. She's a pediatrician and the chair of pediatrics or so at Yale University Medical School. And she's been out with a new book lately called Overcoming Dyslexia, which has gotten a lot of good press, and including my interviewing you on your programs and so forth. And she's a pretty good gal, and she is saying in that book what they're calling dyslexia really is what she calls a phonological deficit, meaning a deficit of phonics in plain English. They don't know the sounds, and they haven't been taught how to relate the sounds to reading a word off the page. So sure enough, they can't read, or they can't read much, or they get some words memorized, but it's never enough, and they're making mistakes, and they're guessing, and that's bad enough with just the whole word method of teaching reading. And then along came Ken Goodman, one of the gurus of whole language, and he studied the kinds of mistakes that poor Johnny of Why Johnny Can't Read was making, except after Dr. Flesch taught Johnny, he was okay because he taught him phonics. But the other Johnnies that didn't get Dr. Flesch were all guessing and misreading and leaving out words and putting in words, just like those college students that I tripped over that started me on creating the phonics game and then the phonopoly game. And all these people are in terrible shape. I mean, it's hard to conceive of how bad it really is. And I'm not just talking about the non-readers and the extremely poor readers. I mean, they're out there too. But one of the kinds of people that I see are very sophisticated, well-educated. They've got college degrees. They may even have professional degrees. They may be doctors, lawyers, etc. But, for example, the classic tale I tell of the dentist who had gone back to law school in his 50s, passed the law school, passed the bar, but he came into our face-to-face courses saying, you know, I had to get that law degree reading 5 minutes at a time, getting up, walking around, pounding myself on the back, trying to wake up. And if I try to read at night, it's just hopeless, and daytime isn't all that much better. Could you do anything about this sleepy, tired stuff? Because it's killing me. Well, at that point, I didn't know, but I said, it'll certainly help your spelling, your comprehension, which you also complained about, and you might as well do it. And he did. And as things fell out, some days we would have done 3 of the Phonicsopoly games, and that third game is a real zinger that has things in it that Gene Roddenberry didn't know, the man who created Star Trek. But we didn't get that far with this guy. He got the first 2 games, which you looked at them and you've played them, Dr. Stan, they look relatively simple, but they're very, very concentrated. The first game has 36 out of the 40 sounds of the whole English language. Actually 31. By the second game, it's 36 altogether. So you only have 3 or 4 more sounds to go and a handful of rules that you need to know that nobody is ever teaching. It's not that you're not learning them. It's that nobody is out there teaching them. So if he'd gotten a little further, I would have been less surprised by what happened. But he only got those 2 games. He went home that night and he thought, well, better get back for the seminar with a good night's sleep. I'll just read for 5 minutes. It'll knock me right out, because it always did. A lot of people say they use reading like a sleeping pill. Well, he picked up this book, and of course he expected to fall immediately asleep. Not only did he not fall asleep, but he could not put the cotton picking book down. For the first time in his life, he was reading with the appropriate language half of the brain, apparently. And I realized the next day when he came in telling this story, he said, you know, I have to prop my eyes open with toothpicks later, but I sure kept them open last night for the first time in my life. And I knew something dramatic had really happened there. So I've been telling you for years, I think when they're teaching reading wrong, they're teaching it to the wrong half of the brain. And if you could look in with brain scans, you would see people who are struggling are reading with the picture half of the brain, not the language half of the brain. So I was saying that in the sense of, if you could look in with brain scans. Well, guess what? Dr. Shaywitz and other researchers in the field now can look in and do look in with brain scans, and what they are seeing is exactly what I predicted, I don't know, 15, 18 years ago. That is, if people are reading well and easily, 3 areas in the left side of the brain line up, the language side. If they're reading badly or they're labeled with dyslexia, 2 big areas in the right half and 1 in the left, and the whole thing going crazy, basically, and working about 4 times too hard. You can see where it's shifting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It even sounds like it would put you to sleep. Well, that's what's going on. The brain scan labs are now substantiating what we said and thought and believed and built into Phonopoly years ago. And we've seen it with all different variations of this method. It's happened quickly. Sometimes it's happened after 1 game. Very often it's happened after 2. Pretty much always it's happened after 3 of them. And, you know, people are out there listening to us now, Dr. Stan, who have maybe had a lifelong struggle with this. Not just kids, but the grandparents and the parents and the grown sons and the people that are out there doing less than their life. Less than their life should have been, could have been, and still could be, because you might think that whatever that did to your brain, you're stuck with it? Well, no. Turns out the news from Dr. Shaywitz and other researchers is the brain can be massively rewired. What rewires it? Teaching phonics.
And I really think that's the most amazing thing. And yet, the left side of the brain has to do with language. The right side of the brain has to do with pictures. And when you learn to look at words as pictures, the message goes to the right side of the brain. Then it's got to go to the left side of the brain, and you get nothing but confusion. They know exactly what they're doing. If they can keep the American people dumbed down, why, they will accept the new military dictatorship that's planned. They'll accept the socialist authoritarian society and be willing to merge America into the New World Order, the New World Religion. Only an educated, intelligent, God-fearing group of people deserve to be free. And we are losing our freedom progressively because the average individual really doesn't understand what's going on. He accepts the progress of progressive loss of freedom as just a normal occurrence, and it's not. And if he understood history, if he understood the same thing happened in ancient Greece, it happened in ancient Rome, it's happened in countries throughout the world, it's happening in other countries today, and it's going to happen here. Education is the key to getting people to understand what's going on and to be able to then begin to grasp the significance of the unfolding of events. And I really think, Myrna, that when they have got the brain confused by reading with the wrong side of the brain, you're not thinking clearly on many other issues as well. Is that possible?
I think that is true. I think it dramatically influences the whole functioning of the brain. And if you think about how often and how much in the course of a day, just even if you're not a reader, how much you have to deal with print, how much you have to look at a sign or know this or know that. The brain is being activated all day long, whether it's working the correct way or the wrong way. And so I do think, yes, it affects other kinds of thinking, other kinds of functioning. It probably even affects math and so forth because you can't read the math problems. I had a friend who his daughter could do the math problems if he read them out loud to her. If she had to read them herself, she was helpless. And this is very common. And by the way, we took her over a weekend with the same method. And at the end of the weekend, and you know, we usually would do that with adults, not necessarily with kids. And she was about 12, and one of the kids that was in that group was 7. So, you know, their tongues were dragging a little bit, but they were all excited. It got to the end of the first day, and the little 7-year-old, Marcus, was now sounding out and reading words like chronological, chiropractor, in 5-6-syllable words. So we turned to him and we said, well, Marcus, what'd you think about that? This is after a whole day of playing these games. He said, boy, these games are fun. And you know, if I had to take a one-line review of this, that's basically what I'd want it to be. And that's basically the review. People like it, people enjoy it, people think it's fun. Little kids that didn't think they wanted to do it jump right in and all of a sudden get very competitive and have a lot of fun with it and win the game or don't win the game, but they see too, and I've never seen a kid that also didn't see, besides the fun of the game, the power of the game. When we did this with that group you mentioned where these were poor, disadvantaged, 3/4 of them second language kids, various minorities, etc., and they were all poor, and they were all free lunch, and all the reasons why they shouldn't have been able to read, and sure enough, they couldn't read when we got them. Some were on a pre-primer level, although they were 3rd to 6th grade kids. And this was not rocket science either. It was not that I sat down with them with however many years of experience and taught them. It was 4 ordinary public school teachers that we gave a brief introduction to phonicsopoly. And then they turned around and gave a brief introduction to some high school age kids. And then they all sat down and played the games with the little kids. And those little kids, when the independent third party PhD tested them at the end of this, and he tested them on what's probably the hardest kind of test, namely, can you read this word off the page? No pictures, no guessing, no paragraph, no nothing. He said those kids wouldn't quit. They never missed enough in a row that they had to stop according to the test standard, and they never backed off. They went all the way to the bottom of the test. And, you know, maybe they missed a few here and there on the way, but they scored at the top 14% in the country. I mean, we moved them from the barrio to Beverly Hills in 16 hours.
And I think this is really what's so amazing, is that this is not a serious problem. It is only a problem because there's been a conscious, organized effort to block the implementation of phonics, and of course, Myrna's been teaching this, I don't know how many years, but 20 or 30 years, something like that, and so she's put together a program that really works, and I've played it. It's a fun game to play. I think you'd enjoy it as well. I've had calls from adults 40, 50, 60 years old telling me how much they enjoyed it themselves, and of course, this was really designed for children, but anybody can learn from it. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you'd have any question or comment, that's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
side, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, Garlic Lovers. This is Radio Health Journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention some of the items we carry here. As you know, we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters, and if you'd like to know about them, you can see them up on our webpage. The Big Berkey's made of stainless steel. You put a couple of gallons in the top, it goes down through these ceramic filters, comes out the bottom, and it'll remove most of the pesticides and herbicides and the things that you wouldn't want to have in your water. The water tastes great, moves a lot of the chlorine, and it doesn't move the fluoride, although there are post filters you can get and put on the Big Berkey that'll take out the fluoride, because the fluoride is not healthy for you. The government knows it increases the incidence of bone cancer. The government knows it is very, very effective in decreasing fertility. Why? Population control, of course, but they don't want to tell the American people that. And as far as helping the teeth, it really doesn't do that good a job. If it's going to do anything, it would be locally simply killing off the bacteria in your mouth. We have articles out of the Dental Association journals talking about it doesn't do you any good to ingest it, so why are they giving it to you? Great for population control. If you want those studies, we have them. We have a four-tape set on fluoride. But you have to understand that the Big Berkey is designed to take out the impurities, and with a post-filter, it'll take out the fluoride. And then these are available in every state but California and Iowa. In California, we have something called the Berkey Light, and the Berkey Light is made of Lexan, so you can see the water level. The filters are black Berkey filters. They really purify the water. They do a great job of taking out all the impurities except for fluoride. They won't take out the fluoride after a period of time. They do very well initially, but after they've been used for a few months, why, some of the fluoride gets through, although you can get a post filter and put on that and solve the problem. But this is $199.95. The Big Berkey is $239.95. Both of them, if you want to learn about them, go to our website and then give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We think the Big Berkeys are a great thing to have, or the Berkey Lights are a wonderful thing to have. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're talking with Murdo Culbreth about Phenopoly, and incidentally, the Phenopoly sets are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Most of these programs are $400, $500, $600, or $800 for a program that will teach children how to read phonetically. This is $139.95. Five board games, two bonus games. We throw in a couple of books along with it. We think it's a great investment. We think it's a wonderful, wonderful gift for children. The greatest gift you can give to a child is the ability to read and read phonetically, because they are intentionally not teaching them phonics in our schools today. Contrary to everything you hear, well, they may have a little bit of phonics, and then they'll use the look-see, and all it does is really confuse the brain. You've got to go one way or the other, and you should always go with phonics. But they do not want to teach them phonics. After all, if you could teach our children phonics, why, they would have scores that would be better than Burma and Lithuania and Latvia.
Yes, that's true. And by the way, when they do test everybody, they really come in low. I mean, they just don't get it. Almost half of all kids are below even the basic level, when basic is defined as little or no knowledge of reading. That's almost half of the kids, 7 out of 10 below the proficient level, which is not very high either. And a kid, here's what normal is, and you out in the audience think about this and then see if it's happening in your family or if it's been happening for the last 50, 60, 70 years. Here's what normal is. You go to school in the fall in the first grade. You could do it in kindergarten if you wanted to. They teach you phonics. By Christmas, by this time of year, you can read. You can read most any kid's book, let's say. By spring, you can read a newspaper. And that's it. You're done. You don't have to learn anything more about reading. You might learn a little more about comprehension, vocabulary, etc. But the new studies are showing kids as early as first grade feel just horrible if they know they're not learning to read well. The famous self-esteem has gone down dramatically from the moment they walked in the school door, when they felt they could do anything, and then they're hit with a reading method that's totally crazy.
Yeah, but don't you think, Myrna, that they are intentionally holding our children back? How often I hear the politicians say, oh, we want every child to be able to read by the end of the third grade. The only trouble is you've held them back during those important years when they could have gotten it, and you're waiting until the third grade to try to get them really proficient. And if you are a teacher and you're trying to teach them in kindergarten how to read, you're going to get into real trouble.
Yeah, people will often call you down for teaching things too well. I mean, if your kids all learn to read, you may not be looked upon with all that much favor. But if you are a teacher, and I don't care what grade you're teaching in, don't ask anybody for permission. Don't ask them for funding. It's $100 or a little bit more. How bad can it be? You spend that much on some fancy sneakers or other bits and pieces or a fun day or night or weekend out. Listen, get phonicsopoly. Take it into your room, lock the door if you think you'll be bugged for doing it. Most times you don't have to go quite that dramatic on it, but whatever you have to do, just go teach the kids. And I don't mean just in the first, second, third grade or kindergarten or whatnot. I mean, if you're a high school teacher, if you're a middle school teacher, you need to know that these terrible scores that we just saw in the National Assessment of Education Progress, where there's no improvement for the last 10 years in spite of all the hype and all the whatnot. And by the way, Dr. Stan, the usual suspects are spinning this as a victory. They're saying, oh, well, that's right, the scores are flat. However, that's really terrific. That's really progress, because, you see, there are all these nasty little minority students and nasty little English language students, and that's what's causing the problem. No, it's not. Our kids who were English language learners in that study, they went right to the top 14% in the country in terms of reading words off the page. Now, they're still going to have to work a little bit on vocabulary and so forth. I don't mean to say that does every single thing that you need to do, but it does a lot. And in order to play the games from second game on in Phonicsopoly, you actually have to read cards that will tell you something that you can take from other players, or cards that will give you a rule. And by the time you've done that, you're also practicing comprehension, and there you go.
Well, now, what about the ability to spell? What does Phonicsopoly do? And teaching phonics have to do with the ability to learn how to spell? Because the spelling the average child who graduates from high school, even college today, is atrocious. So we're going to get to that and many other things when we get back. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for Myrna.
most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention several of the other items that we carry. One of them, as you know, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and if you would like to know more about them, you can go to our website. There's a soap, a lotion, a moisturizing soap, a gel, and a neutralizing solution, and we can't make any medical claims for these, but we can tell you that many of our listeners will make claims for them, and they tell us they've really done wonderful, wonderful things for them, and they use them from everything from spraying their counters to keep the ants away, to spraying the vegetables to make them grow better, and to keep the various insects out, algae or fungus and other things off them. Algae, I guess it would be, and fungus off of the very things in the garden. All we can do is suggest that you try these products and see if you like them. Miracle 2 soap products are available, a special introductory offer, by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you'd like to know more about them, why don't you go to our website at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we want to suggest that if you have not yet set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, why, you really should. The Institute of the Constitution is designed to teach you and the people that in your group about the Christian history of America. If we don't know about our foundations, we don't understand the purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government, and the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to limit what the government could do. You can't understand anything going on today. And that we have people in Washington, D.C. who don't believe in the Constitution, why not call 410-760-9068? That's 410-760-9068. And ask about the Institute of the Constitution and set one up in your community. This is how we're going to take America back, but we need your help. Give them a call right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I guess this afternoon is Myrna Culbreth, and we're talking about Phonopoly, because we think Phonopoly is a great program, and we think this is a wonderful time, if you love your children and grandchildren, to get a program, and you might even actually gain from having this. And I was asking Myrna before we went to the break, what about spelling? So many of our young people today just cannot spell. Does Phonopoly help them to be able to spell?
Tremendously. And by the way, just because you've got a kid on the honor roll does not mean you are safe from this problem. And 98% of kids graduating from high school, never mind the ones that already killed each other, went to jail, et cetera, 98% of the good ones graduating from high school cannot write a two-line theme without terrible mistakes in grammar and spelling, mostly spelling. And so, you know, you got 2% of kids. You know that more than 2% are going to Ivy League colleges and all sorts of interesting places, but they can't spell. And, of course, college professors and employers notoriously complain of this. Well, here's the skinny on that. Spelling is very simple, even in the English language. You'll hear people say, oh, English is crazy, you can't learn it, it's too many exceptions. No, it's not that bad. If you learn it the way we teach it, taking the most important rules first, the next most, then the next most, and the logic behind it, then you begin to see what you have to do in order to spell right. You need this silent letter to make this vowel say its name. You need this double letter to keep this vowel in front of it from saying its name. There are various things which we explain. As you go through Phonicsopoly, you hear these rules, and then one of the bonus games is called Spellbinders, and it really nails down a bunch of those really important rules for spelling. So, and then the hobgoblins even teaches you things about everything you always wanted to say but were afraid to pronounce, even foreign expressions and their spellings and their pronunciation. So by the time you get through with this, you know, by the time you get to the third game, you already know more than most college professors of English would know about the English language. By the seventh game, you know, just go teach a college course on this. But what it will do for you is, without memorizing, without having to do big struggles, first of all, it will give you the joy in reading such that you will read a lot. And you'll notice, because now your brain is alerted to it, how things are spelled, because you've already figured out why they need to be that way. And it, a lot of people describe that after they play the games, they're driving down a freeway and they see a sign. And they say, oh, yeah, now I know why that word has a silent letter in it, or now I know why that word has a double letter in it. Oh, now I understand how that works. And so you're practicing spelling all the time that you're surviving in the world after you've played this game. And before very long, I mean, first of all, you get huge immediate improvement, and then it just gets better from there. And without big hassles, big memorizing, big lists, nobody who's an adult is going to go back and have spelling lists, but you don't have to. If you know the logic behind it, you never have to worry about it again. And it's huge. I mean, it's just huge. I think, Dr. Stan, that there is virtually no family in America that should not think about getting this. Now, they might not think that they have a need for it, but you think about it, listeners. Do you really always read and write and spell as well as you'd like to? Do you read as much as you'd like to? Do you buy books and pile them up and you never quite get around to them, or you read a few pages and put them down and never get back to it? This is, you know, most, if I'm talking to a group of executive adults, most everybody will answer yes to those questions. Yes, I get sleepy tired. I'd say sleepy tired is over half of any executive population. Never mind that it includes some people that are not as well trained. And I, you know, recently I was with a group where it happened to be a lady that I like and respect a lot. She asked me to spend a little time with some members of her family. One of her sons has broken his life over this. He has an IQ of 140. He was a terrible reader, and for all his life, and after a few grades, he just kind of tuned out, dropped out, even got into alcohol, drugs, things like that. Finally, at the age of almost 40, he pulled himself back together and got sober. And now he has a daughter who's 2 years behind in reading in the seventh grade. And then the same family from a different set of parents has a boy, 15, who's been told all his life that he has dyslexia. But he makes very good grades, but he makes them by working extremely hard. His father has always figured he has dyslexia, even though he's a minister, by the way. And so we sat down, and then there was one girl who thinks she's pretty good, but she didn't know any of these things. And we sat down and played with this, and the grandmother, although she was a good sight reader, and she's, I don't know what age, but maybe in her 70s. And she, in playing this with a different set of grandkids, noticed that it greatly improved her reading, even though she's
70 years of age, yeah?
Yep, 70-something, yeah, I think. And never asked, but I would guess.
Too polite. Go ahead.
Too polite. Well, you know, very nice lady, and she's got, you know, I mean, she could be a little younger than that, but she's got a number of pretty well-grown sons and so forth. And all of her kids tested in the 140 IQ range. Three of them did pretty well because one way or another probably got little tiny bits at least of phonics. The fourth one decided that he was a dummy and just crashed his life, basically. You know, not that that's an excuse, but it frequently becomes so frustrating, so painful, so demeaning that, you know, a lot of people do suffer. And a lot of people, I've, you know, as you know, I've volunteered to teach guys who were in prison 6 to 10 years and were just about to be released on society, and they couldn't read. And to a man, they said, you know, I kept trying for 3-4 grades, and then I got to the point where I'd rather make a fuss and do something wrong and be sent to the principal's office, because I was more comfortable there than back in the classroom where somebody could call on me to read. And then they got this, and they saw that in just four games they were able to read a newspaper. And they said, oh, you know? And basically to the man, they said, if I'd had this, I would never have wound up in here. Now, that may or may not be true, but that was their perception of things. And we've done it with kids in a juvenile justice school. But where I like to see it happen is just the ordinary family who is out there doing ordinary or extraordinary things. But, you know, you don't know what's in this until you get it. And I'll bet you a nickel that, you know, look in one of the rule booklets, in the main rule booklet, there's a little teaser rule that will ask you a question. How could you figure out when this letter makes this sound? It's a question Gene Roddenberry had never heard. But he sat down and he gave himself some examples and he figured it out. For a long time, I got three answers to that question.
In other words, there were only three people who knew the rule, and one of them happened to have come from Russia, because they're intentionally dumbing down the people here in the United States.
This
did not happen by accident. And when you understand that, you can understand we've been under attack for a long period of time, because America, of course, was a very, very special nation. I believe it was blessed by God, and it was so difficult to defeat it and destroy it from outside. So we're being destroyed from within. And if you can't read and you can't write, then you're not going to be able to be effective in the workforce, and we are not able to compete with other countries. Our industries can, because, of course, they're highly mechanized today, but as far as the average individual, we have to bring in large numbers of people from India to do the computing here in the United States, because they couldn't get enough people with really could understand computers to do the work. Now, of course, those jobs are all gone, and the Indians are going home. But also, that's where our jobs are going as well. And so many of our major software companies are moving over to India, because there's a great source of a reservoir of people who are well-schooled and well-trained over there, and they can speak English, they know how to read English, and they know how to do computer programming. We just don't have the same volume of people here in the country that they have in other countries, because over there they're educating for excellence, and here we're educating for mediocrity.
Well, and they are educating, the single biggest thing they are doing there is they're teaching phonics. And, you know, that's the only normal way to teach English, and one way or another it has more or less survived in places like India. As a matter of fact, Russia never gave up teaching phonics. Dewey and a bunch of his progressives shuttled back and forth to Russia, and nothing but praise for Russian education and Russian society, even when it was abundantly clear that it had already killed tens of millions of people. Dewey went there in 1927. The word was already in, and he had no criticism. And he came back and he published three big articles in where? In the National Education Association Journal, the NEA. And he had no criticism of Russian education. And Russian education continued to use phonics until somewhere in time after Why Johnny Can't Read. There was a book called Why Johnny Can't Read, But Ivan Can. And that's pretty sad if you think about it. But, you know, you don't have to solve necessarily the whole problem of the society on this, but you do really owe this to your kids, your family, and Christmas is a heck of a time to do it. It's, you know, people can get it, enjoy it, take it as a present, sit around after the turkey and play it, and by the new year, you can have a totally different family. I mean, in one day, we completely revolutionized that family I was just talking about, and they're going to go ahead and play the rest of the games by themselves. And I just went in another direction, taught a couple of little girls who needed it badly, and in a couple of days, they went from wherever they were to being able to read pretty much any word off the page.
Well, let me just tell our listeners that the game is played like Monopoly very much, and you go around the board and you collect, you get property and you get various things on the property. It's very, very similar to Monopoly, so it's a fun game. There's competition, there's strategy, but in the process, Murda's got this thing worked out so that you have to learn the sounds and you have to learn the basic rules. And there are not that many rules. There are 40 sounds and 12 rules. And as you play through the games, you learn more and more and more. And this is a great game for somebody who's 5 years old or for who's 75 years old, because it's a fun game. It's something you can share with others, but in the process you learn. I think that's the genius of this whole concept of Phonopoly.
Well, we were really sneaky that way. I mean, it is just smuggled in there. Lots of people comment back, boy, you know, I didn't feel like I was, quote, learning, although they knew they were learning, but they didn't feel, they meant they didn't feel the kind of terrible feeling that they've often associated with learning in school because it was never clear-cut, it never made sense, they couldn't get a handle on it. The man I was just describing who has the IQ of 140 but always struggled, he said to me at the end of the third game, this is the greatest gift anybody has ever given me. And I just want you to know, besides that, I see that I can now take these words apart, put them back together. I was always good at mechanical things. And he said, you are the only one who's ever given me the understanding that words are like mechanics, too. And you can just figure them out, take them apart, put them together. He said, it's going to change my life completely. And he went to a meeting the next day where he had to read out loud. It's a meeting he'd been going to for a long time. And they all just about dropped dead at how much he had improved. And some of them came up to him and said, what did you do, and will you do it for me? And he said he would.
And, of course, the game can be used over and over and over again. And so it's really a wonderful thing to have. But the major thing is that you can transform lives. And the fact that there has been an organized, orchestrated effort to prevent our children from learning phonics, and I suspect that many of the people listening to this program never learn phonics and have difficulty spelling words. And once you can begin to sound the words out and you know the rules, then it's all very logical how to spell them and why, you know, what it will be spelled this way because of the standard rules. And this is, actually, I learned a lot from just playing the game myself. And believe me, I had a five-bit cap and all the sort of honors when I graduated from college, but I've always been a terrible speller, and I could read. I could read very well, but I could never read phonetically. I never learned to do that. But since I've been talking to Myrna, why that has changed. So give us a call if you have a question or comment. We have a few more minutes. Our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Phonopoly is an amazing program. We put these on over and over again because we want as many Americans as possible to learn how to read. If you can't read well, you cannot understand what's going on in our society, and all you're going to do is simply stumble along and read the regular media. You're never going to get back to the history that will be necessary for you to understand what's really going on. If you don't understand the past, you certainly can't understand what's going on today.
Right, and you know, Dr. Stan, there is a knowledge base out there that used to be out there in the American population, things that they knew, just, you know, vocabulary and references and George Washington and the cherry tree and the...
And the poetry. You know. Remember we used to learn poetry in school?
Absolutely.
They don't teach the poetry in school today, and our kids, as I often say, know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, more about Madonna than they do about mathematics. And the wonderful poetry that it really touched the souls of my generation, that isn't taught in school today.
No, it's not, and if they tried, they would find people stumbling over the words and so forth. But, you know, there were people that memorized whole long poems and narrative poems and My Last Duchess and all sorts of interesting things. Well, that whole knowledge base, as well as the reading, is missing from our kids, but it doesn't have to stay missing. You know, here's a $139 cure for a $40 billion, $100 billion, zillion-dollar problem. And you don't have to wait for anybody. You don't have to appeal to the government. And, you know, let's call Dr. Stan for a grandparents' revolution. If your grown kids are not the shape they ought to be, get this. If you don't think they'll play it, descend on them with it and play it with them. They'll sure have to go along with that. Or do whatever you have to do, but get them this tremendous shot in the arm, and get it now.
Well, I'm very concerned. You know, the Bush administration said they were going to bring in phonics, that no child was going to be left behind. We're 3 years into that. We fought in our second war now, but we're not doing anything to improve the education other than come up with a new program in civics, which is designed to tell our children how wonderful the United Nations is, how we've just got to have more government control because of the environmental danger, but we're not teaching them to read. And that, of course, I think is really Well, it's the same with every administration. Every administration says we're going to solve the problem, and with every administration, things get worse and worse and worse. You remember when Gray Davis came into power here in California 4 or more years ago, and what was his promise? We're going to bring in phonics. Did he bring in phonics? No, he didn't bring in phonics. He did not do what he promised to do. The reading scores are no better. Oh, they may claim they're better. That's because they've dumbed down the test. But nothing has really changed, and it's not going to. Don't look to the government to solve your problems. You're responsible. God gave the children to the parents, not to the government. Myrna, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless, Darren, and let's hope people will just do this and not even think about it. Just call you up.
Okay, well, it's 1-800-544-8927. If you want to get Phonopoly, $139.95, 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. You couldn't get a better deal.
Great
we'll be
deal.
Back in just a moment. Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceful people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me suggest several other things that I hope that many of you will be very interested in getting. One of them is the new video we have on the church growth movement. Now, this is a movement that is sweeping across America today, and it is the whole idea of organizing the church. Churches are going to grow. The people are going to come into the churches. They're going to love it. We're going to change the music of the church. And we're going to change the message of the church to make it more palatable so nobody will be offended and nobody will be convicted and nobody will really understand what Christianity is all about because we've changed the message. Well, you need to get the new video we have. It's called Diaprox. That's Diaprox. And you need to get our new 4-tape set called The Apostate Church. And you need to find the information and you need to understand this whole thing is about manipulation. It's all manipulation. It's management skills that are used on industry and are used to control the people in industry and control the people in the military. And now it's been introduced in the Christian church. If you'd like to get the video, it's called Diaprox. That's Diaprox. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Order the 4-tape set entitled The Apostate Church. And understand how this is all working together to change America forever. And it's been said that human society, like human beings, are based upon faith. And when faith dies, human societies die. That freedom and religion are inseparable, and you destroy the religion, you destroy the freedom. And we are changing the message of the Christian church today. And if you read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and look at his quotations, Bible quotations. He has taken any fear of God out of the church, and take the fear out while you remove the entity of God. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, please go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. You won't get anything accomplished if you do that, but a fellow I just talked to a few a couple of hours ago told me he listens to us 3 hours a day and enjoys the programs, but he just doesn't have time to listen the full 5 hours. And I'm not suggesting you do that, but I'm suggesting that you start listening to the programs as much time as you can so that you can get educated about the spiritual battle behind the political and the cultural and the ideological and the economic and the educational battles that we are fighting today. So remember, it's RadioLiberty.com, and you can find our archive programs, you can find our live programs or link to them on other networks. You can, of course, find all of our newsletters there, and we hope that you'll pull those newsletters down. Now, if you would like a free newsletter, you don't have access to the Internet, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a free copy of our latest newsletter. We'll be glad to send you one. And we hope that you'll think seriously about getting some of the things we offer. One of them is Phonopoly. We think Phonopoly is a wonderful program to teach children and young adults and older adults and even old people like me how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And once you can learn to read, why, then you can begin to understand what's really going on in the world today. But without an ability to read and be able to retain what you read, why, you're simply going to be like a leaf drifting along a river buffeted by the current. Only those people who can read can really understand what's going on. So if you'd like to get a Phonopoly program, most of these are $500, $600, $700, $800. This is $139.95. It's a fun game. But more than that, it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and 2 books we throw in to explain how they have deliberately attacked the mind and reality of our children. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a Phonopoly set. Believe me, it's the greatest gift you can give, the ability to read. And then we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to looking at the other items we carry there at our website. One of them we encourage people to get involved in is the Institute of the Constitution. And the Institute of the Constitution teaches you about America's Christian heritage. It's never talked about in our schools. It's never talked about in our universities, and certainly never mentioned in our media. But until 30 or 40 years ago, everybody knew America was a Christian nation. So why was Judge Roy Moore removed from his position by a kangaroo court? And it was a kangaroo court because there was no authorization for this in the Constitution of the State of Alabama. And you'll be surprised to know, you're not being told this, but the legislature recently voted to rescind the firing of Judge Roy Moore because the only people who could really fire him were the legislators of the state. But it was all simply a scam on the part of the Attorney General, who wanted to break the filibuster for his judgeship, and he was quite willing to destroy Judge Roy Moore so that he could become a federal judge. His name was William Pryor. I hope you'll write to President Bush and tell him, do not, under any circumstances, allow William Pryor ever to be a federal judge of anything. Withdraw his nomination. If you really care about justice in America, why, withdraw William Pryor's nomination right to the President of the United States, because he illegally removed Judge Roy Moore from the bench. You need to find that out, but that'll be our next newsletter. Right now, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, our ministry, for our provision and our protection. And so until next week, Monday, we'll be back with you once again. Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.